died. Not having look, can he still know what's there, just there, over the mountain, by his bedside? You know, it says, no moon makes light of a shore, but still some moon suggestible tide stretches over it, swept black, a quilt of wing that might come opalescent as a jackdaw's. Yet it's not ocean, but the branches breaking, the screamed music of trees, wind-shattered hedgerows. Listen, the night outside strikes up a score, rain on the window, quick spitting at the glass, once reinforced a sense of the secure and covered self, though you lay bodiless, still in no shape for sleep. Half grateful too to think of it out there, walled off with stone. More than concrete keeps us from our window, streeling with rain to catch the joined reflection, which, reducing mountains to your own held stare by lamp, by window shine, suggests the worth of all this looking is to look no further, probably, than this. The very words by which you might distinguish from the worst such distant intervals. Meanwhile, the sky brightens down from the first peak to the last, one raw angelic sleep. The mountains passed like camels unhumping at the needle's eye.
And Charles, you're moving in the right direction there. You're up next.
No, I'm not. It's up to you.
Yeah.
You're the boss. Right. No. I promised something last week. That's a mistake. I don't promise. I don't intend keeping them. Anyway. I've finished something this afternoon, and I'm going to be brave enough to read it. Vickery's Hotel, Bantry, before the flood. From the street entrance on a damp day, the hall with its welcome fire has an Edwardian air. You might notice the Shakespeare prints of Lady Macbeth about to crown herself, one of the Henrys, and Cybeline. Nothing has changed for years in a town where nothing had changed for years. Entering from the yard to the hotel bar, you might meet the Protestant parmage of the famous Irish language poem. Literature is everywhere in Ireland. There is the certainty of her doing her best and not a bad best. And upstairs, in the old dining room, after Sunday Mass, my uncle is discussing the sermon.
There's probably still one or two spaces on the list if anybody has overcome. What's your name again?
Jim Pritchard.
You're not up next, though.
Yet.
Stay down for a while.
Probably getting excited, Jim.
A little bit.
Steady on. So, Inish, where you've been father of Eugene Crowley.
Fáilte conan travelling woman, fluch true, crime lider ar litter on presume himinuk. Gold grain biscuits, agus te te, sa kishtin, turin te. In mo oiga, ar uir ar leino, san aspidel seir, ag finac leno e vahar, slán leis na fíc le bio, chinig.
Patricia White, please.
I'd like to move the next step of my novel. It's just published recently, Andy, in the shops in about a few weeks' time. So, I'll pick up where I left off. Gables marched up to the gang, a strongly built six-footer with a red beard and hair and beard to match. He was long and toothed but long enough to see his sights never land like clockwork. He was so insistent that he did run as soon as possible, as sometimes he scared the crew with us. He sauntered up to the twins. Leslie, you're right, did you start today? Yes. You and Leslie will be short with scraping for the time being, so you bring the tools and wheelbarrows onto Quadrant A. Paul was already confused. Where's Quadrant A? He pointed to an empty space far off, his index finger pointing in the distance. See the far corner of the stage? Outside? The space near the barbed wire railing? Go over to Dan over there and he'll sort you out. They already came out of shock to the twins, realizing without some revelations that the actual art of excavation bore little or no relation to what one of them learns in college. When one goes on an excavation for the first time, the natural thing to do was to be told which to go or who goes where, and the best way, of course, was to call an knowledgeable supervisor. The twins trundled up to what they hoped was Quadrant A with a wheelbarrow full of tools, to somebody who was obviously enjoying a breakfast water to pull. Dan, it's yourself. Come here to me. What's the final sign you're excavating? Is this bugging the bejesus out of us? Dan shoved the remainder of his breakfast roll into his cavernous mouth. Well, I don't know, he said, his mouth full. How many archaeologists does it take to change a light bulb? I don't know what. Exactly, we don't really know yet. Woohoo! Once we've examined every stretch of the day, we'll have a definite answer. I see the joke now, ha ha ha. Well, what kind of site do you think it is, eh? Have you placed money outside it yet? You know what's the data? Well, if you're still here 3 months from now and you're still unsure as to what the site was used for, just say it was a ritual site and leave it at that. What was the multi-period site? How would you split the proceeds? Let's not go too ahead of ourselves. Just do what I pay you to do and we can discuss tactics afterwards. Maybe I might even buy you a drink. He paused to light a cigarette. Did anyone tell you, snapped John, it's very rude and spoke to the supervisor at the same time. What, are you listening at all? Go back inside and start shovel scraping like you're told. He disappeared what seemed like forever, coming back momentarily to inspect work in progress. Have a good walk. When you finish shovel scraping, perhaps you can give a start and give this place a good hard trowel. He spotted a brand new trowel so the twins took out of their bags. Top of the range, eh? Well, I tell you, he's going to see a lot of action over the next while. We'll put identifying marks on them so you don't lose them. Always be carrying them on your person. You never know, you might get ducky on sight. Now spread out 2 metres either side to give a good head with trowelling. Now, Alison will show you how. Alison. The diminutive redhead pushed him off the crew. Yes? Just swap these guys out. We'll have to go to the cabin and do stuff. Alison mushed in relief. Didn't have to do much teaching in there on how to use trowel. The twins haven't taken the traps naturally. He sat down until John uncovered something. I think this is charcoal. No, said Alison. That's just a patch of decayed stone. If you find anything, just put it in the tray next to you. Of course, if you find something you don't mind. You haven't thought that far ahead yet. After all, we're just going into our third year. Where were you working last summer? I was doing bar work, never again. I was wrong side in the Irish bar for New York for 3 solid months. How can you imagine that? Well, maybe you can pour a few cocktails into quiet. No wonder Sandy disappeared and another supervisor approached them. She was tall with short dark hair with blonde highlights and walked her demeanour to the sessions with everything by the book, where her face, one observed later, was usually buried in some publication at break time. Her name was Sheila, our easy details and biz vest said so. Last, you've sunblock? No. You do realise the sunburn is a health and safety issue. Here, she said, throwing a bottle of sun lotion at them. We don't want you to fight to death. This is the middle of summer, after all.
Trish, just maybe put me one more right.
Right. Don't you think that being stuck in a hole all day is a health and safety issue? Right.
Thanks. Thanks a million, Trish. And next up, we'll have Simon, please.
A short poem and then 4 haikus that are very recent. First one, somewhere above my head. Somewhere above my head I hear the rat-tat-tat of beak on bark. My eyes strain among the stems, tortured, twisted, naked to the sky. Somewhere above my head I know a bird knocks, insistent, yearning for some unknown world to open. Tree shrub, shrub, grub, dark must on smooth trunks. Somewhere above my head I scan the crown of wood, thick and interweaved, pointed, pitted, gnarled and knobbly above straight and crooked spines. Somewhere above my head, above the mantle of the woodwork, echoes bouncing off at scattered angles, below a treetop walk we cannot take, somewhere above my head. And then four short haikus. One's called Carers. World turned upside down. Others' needs take precedence. No, this too will pass. Next one. Mergers in the news. Minnow three swallows. Will my phone deal be better? O2 to be three. And on the Euro elections, the far right triumphs, our lives the same, debt the same, is race relevant? And the final one, why do we litter? Cans drunk, park bunding, daisies die, detritus squashed. Bin it, save nature. Thank you.
Neil Hurriet, please.
Instead of reading one of my own poems, I thought I'd read two pieces from the masters, W.B. Yeats and William Blake. But they're very short. One is a well-known stanza from the Second Coming. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The centre cannot hold. Plans of the plutarchy are loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. Most of us lack all conviction. Some nuts are full of passionate intensity. Change a few words. I take a delight in doing that with Yeats because he was leaning towards fascism in the 30s. William Blake, the 18th century mystical English poet. We went to the Garden of Love and saw what we'd never seen. A church was now built in the garden where we used to play on the green. But the gates of the church were locked with "Thou shalt not" written over the door. So we turned to the Garden of Love, which so many fine flowers once bore. But the garden was full of graves, tombstones where the blooms used to be, men in black gowns strutting around, binding with briars human joys and desires. Time again for the voice of she, time again for the Garden of Love. Thanks.
Thanks, Leila. Next we have Pascal, please.
Corkiach for Raikin. Is Misha Corkiach as Balinamo? Is Misha Corkiach as Badin's Lap Not? Is Misha Corkiach as Wintin's McCree? Is Misha Corkiach as Brooke Nelly? I came across this epitaph on a headstone in St. Paul's churchyard that's now TK Maxx. came across it in the local historical journal in 1914, and it goes, "Repent, repent while you have time. Here I lie, cut off in my prime. Tom Taylor, a sailor, age 79. last, quickly. What simplicity, I asked of him, in your estimation? Simplicity, he replied, is elaboration. And brevity, again from him I did hone. Or for brevity, said he, read the child's headstone."
Jim Quickard, please.
Hi everyone. So firstly, a short haiku. It's called Twinless. The mirror, her sister's face, they touch hands, not quite. So this one now is called Wordless. In the residue of words, our light fades. Caught in plumes of paint wavering through an artist's glass, we become opaque. Once it's swallowed by the gape, cloth-like plumes bundle around us, taking us to the shadows. Left with a sliver of ourselves faded, narrowly maneuvering through each day, each other's faint glow, narrow as the gossamer string in a butterfly wing, craving the light of another's eye. Rushed flames will burn away when there's no air, and we're left to wrestle in the dark, all alone. It is in wordless moments, when our light breezes namelessly, our flames grow alone.
You're a model, Jim. Oh, there's an issue. Cedric.
She would pull it off every year, the dress, the manners, and some her eyes. And every year I would fall, every time. So would the dress, my manners, and urges. Why some arise? Sizzling blaze underwater, bubbling water over the flame. We, in a way, one could summarize. She was neon white. I dark as tar, different in nature, never to be mixed. Yet there we were, in our own universe. I orbiting planet round the star, would not see what would not burn. Greedy, needy, dirt ball, at a safe distance. I fought it all, went too far. Gave her unwarranted attitude to do any of a sparkle that could not be mine. So she left, undeserved brilliance, leaving me unlit poor existence to sink lower in my own depth. And when I reached the pit of negligence, there she was reaching down for my sorry yet valuable soul. She pulled me up, offered me guidance, back to the realm of ours, where things come and go. So I accepted to be a dark matter, if she remained my stellar one, the center of my system, the one who mesmerizes. I will allow this revolution every year, the dress, the manners, and the sunrise.
Follow
that, we have a Rad Burkhardt, please. Does anybody know who Jeremy Paxman is?
Yeah.
You heard what Jeremy Paxman had to say about poetry. The poets are talking to themselves, they're not talking to the people.
That's
what he said. Well, that's what Paxman said, I don't know what he said. Next, I want to raise a small philosophical question. What is philosophy about? Is philosophy about meaning of life? Is it?
Yeah.
Well, the meaning of life. Most philosophers have worked it out. Like, you know what I mean? The Chinese probably started it, but I mean, the beginnings of philosophy are lost in the mist of time. And most philosophers would say the meaning of life is to achieve your potential, to be happy, to be out in the community and sharing things with people and blah blah blah. How do you take responsibility for your own life? How do you do that? I just want you to think of it. This is my poem anyway. It's called A Cautionary Tale Soaked in Social Justice. Old Auchenstein, Field of the Standing Stone, Thornhill, Nisdale, Dumfriesshire in southwest Scotland. They knocked the stones, said the Grey Wolf Witch, with 20 of the faithful that young new priest had thrown in the ditch. That same young priest who called me out in the church, and the people, they shunned me, they wouldn't buy my healing herbs. And the old stone recumbent in the ditch where it lay called out its own hymn, and it was on the Wednesday forenoon after the fair when the young priest on horseback came a cantering there. His white mare, she shied him, and he tumbled on down with a sharp crack as his neck broke. That priest met his doom. Then the people called to me and to barter and trade, and 20 of the faithful put the stone back in its place.
Right. Freddie Regan, please.
It is my friend.
Oh, there's a cap on the thing as well.
Oh, the strap is on.
Yeah, the strap's upside down as well.
You can do it, Freddy. You can do it.
Actually, it sounds alright.
Close your eyes, little dreamer. Stay a while under the leaves. Though the hunter's might tries to unease you, silence you must keep forever. The seed.
Actually, I'm gonna stop.
Another
break. Actually, it's shite.
Alright,
it could have been good.